Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and today we have the very awesome Quabby, who drives around in the Peace Bus. Quabby, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Andy. How you been, man?
I've been awesome. It's a pleasure to have you on today. So glad to have you taking some time out of your day to join us.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you invited me to come on, and I'm glad to be here. I want to thank you for allowing me to, you know, be on here and talk with you.
Oh, well, hey, it's my pleasure. So, Quabby, you know, I met you locally just came from, you know, you're an awesome person out there doing some great things in the community. Why don't you tell people some exciting stuff you have going on so people know what it is that you do?
Yeah, so Andy, so for those who don't know, my name is Quabby and I drive the Peace Bus. It's a nonprofit that I'm creating, and basically what we do is we do local humanitarian aid. So that's giving out socks and blankets to people in need in the Pierce County area and hopefully eventually King County. So along with doing that, we talk about peace. So it's a mobile podcast. So we meet people where they're at and talk with them about peace and things related to that. And we've been before we actually had the bus. So we have an actual physical bus. So if you're in Tacoma and you see a blue bus that says the Peace Bus, that's me. That's me and my peace crew. We're either going around delivering socks to people on the street or headed off to interview someone or getting supplies for our next school that we're going to be going to. And so right now with the Peace Bus, we're doing an elementary school tour. So we're going to local schools in our community. And we're talking to kids about nonviolence, equality, peace, and how they can get along with their fellow friends and neighbors. And that's what we're currently doing. We just went to Lister Elementary School a week and a half ago. And that was amazing. So that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I saw those pictures you posted. It's so awesome to see these kids out, you know, by the bus and with you and out talking, having these conversations at such a young age. I think that's so critical.
Heck yeah. I mean, it's like we talk about all different sort of things as far as, you know, children related. We talk about, you know, math, science, all your major subjects. But why can't we have a conversation about peace? We're having issues with bullying in schools. We're having issues with violence. So it seems to me like a no-brainer that we would have some sort of subject related to how we can get along with each other.
Right. I think it's exactly right, because we get so focused on the academics that we're forgetting how to teach people how to really be human.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing, though, Andy, but peace is an academic subject, I believe. I think it's interpersonal communication. It's diplomacy. It's a lot of the things that we take for granted that we assume everyone knows under this large umbrella. But I feel that we can help to dwindle the violence that happens in our daily lives through talking about what peace actually is, and then having kids or ourselves implement that in our daily lives.
Right. No, that's such a good point, because it really is a skill that you need to have in order to function and to communicate. Now, if I'm out walking around town and I see the bus parked at Wright Park or at Wapato or wherever you're going to be that day, what should I be expecting to see if I approach the bus? Do you have a checklist you're going to tell me this is how you implement peace in your life? Are you telling me how to do it, or what can I expect?
No. I'm not – okay, so, Andy, I'm not an expert in peace. I'm not. Everything that I do is an educational platform for myself, so I'm learning from other people what peace means to them. So if you come to the bus, I'll probably ask you what peace means to you, and we'll start the conversation that way. I'm learning – because, you know, peace is huge. It's a massive subject.
Right.
And because of that, I'm trying to learn from other people what it means to them to eventually create some sort of understanding, a methodology, if you will, of peace. And then from that point, we'll work towards putting that in action. So one thing that I've gathered from interviewing people, I went to Europe and interviewed a few people over there, and as well as in the States, and it seems as if one motif or theme seems to be food, clothes, and shelter being something that would create a peaceful world. So hearing back, hearing feedback of what peace means from people who I've already interviewed, I've come to the understanding that food, clothes, and shelter is something that's needed for us to go about creating a more peaceful world so far.
I love that. Well, I love that that you're taking it from a point of learning and sharing what you've learned rather than saying, this is how I think it should be done. It's more collective in that this is what I am learning globally. And like you said, you've interviewed people in Europe and in the States. And so for people listening, this isn't just a Tacoma movement. You just got back from traveling from the north to the south end of the U.S. going to the Mexican border.
Yeah,
so why don't you just tell people what that was about?
Yeah. So this summer, me and four of my friends we call ourselves the Peace Crew. We took the Peace Bus from Tacoma to the border of Mexico to interview Border Patrol agents about the immigration crisis that's going on currently. And on the way there, we give out socks and blankets to people in need. And we stayed with people who opened up their homes for us to stay there and collect more socks and blankets from them. And we made our way down to the border of Mexico. And when we got there, we actually had the opportunity to interview two Border Patrol agents in San Diego. And the whole theme of the trip was peace and trying to create understanding of what it means to other people. We went to Disneyland, interviewed kids about what peace meant to them. It was a very big educational piece for all of us. We learned a lot. And now now that we're back in Tacoma, we're trying to take all the information that we got on that big trip and giving it to people and sharing what we've learned.
That's awesome. Now, people that are listening to this podcast, if they're not already following you, where's the best place to follow you? Because I believe on your website you have those interviews with the Border Patrol that you've shared pieces of, right?
Yes, that's correct. So the peacebus.org has everything. Like if you go to the peacebus.org, if you scroll, all our recap videos of every single day we were on the trip. So it was a 2-week trip, so you can literally follow the entire journey through video, which is awesome. It's really cool. So when you get to the bottom of the page, we have the Border Patrol agents and there are an interview with them, which was pretty wild. So you definitely want to check that out.
Yeah. And we had you on the other podcast I co-host on BD Local, which is the Be the Better Local podcast. And you opened up about that too. So, you know, follow the Peace Bus, check out our interview with you on BD Local. It's so interesting to hear you share those snippets of those stories from that journey. And it's so valuable, I think, for you to leave our small community here, find out what problems there are around the world, what's universal, and bring it back here to continue to grow both locally and globally.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because when we were on the road, we were in small towns and big towns, and anytime we would say, they'd ask us where we're from, we'd say Tacoma. Everyone knew where Tacoma was.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Maybe it's because you're putting us on the map.
Maybe, but they all knew, like, oh, Tacoma, near Seattle. Right? I was like, what?
Right.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you are doing some awesome things. It's so commendable. Did you have something? What's your awkward thing that you've had to kind of learn how to own in order to get to where you are now?
I'm glad you asked that, Andy. I'm glad you asked that, because I think people, they need to hear this. I would say this. Awkward, like, if you have a dream and you're in pursuit of it, awkward moments are going to happen each and every day. If you are in pursuit of your dream, it's going to happen. Because when you're putting yourself out of your comfort zone in order to get somewhere that you haven't been before. And that's what's so great about going towards your dream. You're having all these different experiences that you never had before, and that creates awkward moments. But those awkward moments that you overcome, or that you have and that you understand and acknowledge, are going to help you to grow as a person. So I have them every day, Andy. I have them every day. I can try to think of one that happened even today. Oh, for example, okay, so tomorrow – I'm meeting with one of the Tacoma schools administrators to talk about me going to several of the elementary schools in the area for the Peace Bus elementary school tour. Now, I wanted to meet with them at 1:00. I wanted to meet with them at 1:00, but it's not going to work out. She said that she was going to be busy. And during the conversation, I there was some awkwardness in the conversation, trying to figure out scheduling, trying to figure out when I was free, when they were going to be free. But through that, we came to an understanding of what needed to happen. So we're still going to meet tomorrow, just at a different time. But we pressed through. We got through it. And I knew it was going to probably be awkward because I didn't know when I was going to be free. But we got through
right.
it regardless.
Yeah, and I think it's important that people realize you're doing all of this as volunteer time on top of having a day job.
Yeah, correct.
So it's not
yeah.
like you just have this open schedule to go visit schools and schedule the business meetings that you need to get the connections and make things happen. You're fitting this all in around your day schedule.
Yes, that is definitely true. I see it as worth it, though. All my spare time is put towards the bus because I believe in peace that much. I feel that it's a need, and I'm trying to supply that need through my understanding and other people's understanding of peace. So it's been
mm-hmm.
a great ride so far. Yeah.
Well, something beautiful that you said that made me, as you were talking, my mind started to thinking about a couple things, and I had to bring myself back into the conversation. But you were saying how when you have a dream and you're following it, you awkward moments are going to happen. And when you said that, my mind started to think about something awkward that happened with me this morning and something last week that mm-hmm. happened where I thought I had it all figured out and I was going in a direction, and then all of a sudden it's, oh, I've got to recalibrate here or there. Did you have
mm-hmm.
a time where you thought that you knew where you were going and you didn't think that you were, like, you thought you were beyond the awkwardness?
Yes. So when I first started peace campaigning, I had the idea of being the first person to – so I was inspired by this guy named A.B. Nathan. He was a pilot, an Israeli pilot, and he flew a plane called Peace One from Israel to Egypt to promote better relations between Arabs and Jews. So I was inspired by him. I was like, maybe I'll be a pilot. I'll be a peace pilot. Oftentimes we
mm-hmm.
think of flying either commercial or warfare. But how many people are actually
right.
flying for peace? I don't know of anything besides this guy. So I was like, maybe I could be that. So I went to flight training. I took several lessons. I went to ground school, studied aviation. And as I'm doing this, I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't have the money to keep on doing this. But this is, in my mind, I was like, this is the thing I want to do. This is the plan. So the awkwardness was figuring out that this wasn't the right time for that right now. But through that awkwardness and being like, well, what do I do now? How do I deal with the situation? I'm not able to do flight school. What do I do now? That's where the peace bus was born. And so
okay.
through that, I was like, well, I have the money to buy a bus. I can buy a vehicle. I can buy a car. So I bought the
right.
bus. After, and a lot of people would see that as a failure, but it wasn't. It was an awkward moment that transitioned to something great. So
right. Well, and I think that's so important to realize that a lot of, like, when we shift our dream or our focus, it doesn't have to be a failure. And it's so
yeah.
easy to think, well, if it didn't happen the way we wanted, then the only option is fail. And that's
mm-hmm.
such a black and white way to think. And yet sometimes we have bigger dreams realized because the first one shifts and changes. If you would have been flying, there's not really a place to land at the wall or at the border down in, you know, it's like, it's you,
yeah.
you might not have had that conversation with the border patrol because you might've been flying from here to Mexico and having conversations with other people, but you wouldn't have necessarily been affecting people locally the same way and
exactly.
having the conversations that you're having now.
For sure. So I would, in any case, man, embracing that awkward moment, embracing it, and trying to learn from it and grow from it. That's definitely what happened.
Now, was that easy to jump into the idea of it being a bus instead of a plane, or was there kind of a grieving process of, oh, this dream I had isn't going to be realized, or did you just jump in with 2 feet and go,
well,
this is the next thing?
It was an interesting thing because when I realized I was running out of money for flight school, I looked at the rest of the money. I have my income tax coming in. So I was like,
okay.
In my mind, I was like, okay, well, I'll just use my income tax money and keep on paying for flight school. But I did the math, realized I wouldn't even have enough to finish. So my first instinct was to go to Europe again. My buddy,
Oh, okay.
Austin, who lives there, when I went the first time campaigning for peace, he said, you would want me to come back and we could go to more countries in Eastern Europe interviewing people about peace. But he when it got closer to the time, he canceled on me. So that was another moment.
Oh,
I
okay.
was like, well, I'm
Right.
supposed to go back to Europe again, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, well, what can I do? What can I do?
Right.
Maybe I could fuse the two, right? So I could have a vehicle and also campaign, do the peace campaigning that I'd been doing in the past with my posters. So I infused the two, thinking, buying the peace bus and then putting the image or the words of peace on it. Instead of it just being like a airplane stunt, it would become a symbol, right? A peaceful
mm-hmm.
symbol that I could have in the community. Like you talked about having it be local, you know, a plane is great, but it doesn't necessarily say local, but a car that's
yeah.
driving around Tacoma, driving around the places we see every day, talking to people that we see every day is more of a community oriented movement.
Right. And by the
yeah.
time you've said before that you still plan to go global. And so by the time you get there, you'll have bigger and stronger supporters behind you because they'll have gotten to know you so much better and they'll be behind your dream.
For sure. And that, and how that's all coming together is really amazing. I'm not giving up on the peace plane yet. So it, like you said, once creating more of an understanding and getting people to rally around the movement, I hope to be able to have enough money, have enough funds to promote this circumnavigation trip around the world and promotion of world peace.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that was an interesting perspective, a lady that I just absolutely adore online and a friend of mine, Heather, she has done a TED Talk on reframing, Heather Younger. And
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of what you did when you're looking at how much money you have. We can either look at the $1,000 we have left and say, oh, this isn't enough to get me here. But
mm-hmm.
to step back and say, how far will it get me? Where can it take me? And that sounds like that's exactly what you did in that moment, was said, I have this much money. It will get me this instead of that. So this is where I need to focus and this is what I need to make happen.
Exactly, exactly. The worst thing someone who is dream seeking can do is stop. Never want to stop. So with whatever resources that you have, use them efficiently. Try to figure out the best way to use them. And by all means, use them. Do that thing. Don't become stagnant. Because once we come – the thing is, time's moving, Andy. Time's moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening.
Right.
You can't stop it. So the time that you're halted in pursuing your dream, that time keeps on going. You stand still. You've lost that time. So when you have your
yeah.
resources, you got to do something. Go for your dream to the best of your ability with what you have.
Well, and you've been really inspiring to me in that way where I look at how you started, and you started in a park with a sign just standing there talking to people. I mean, you know, it's
yeah,
that simple.
Yeah,
you don't have to get booked somewhere. You don't have to have schools calling you to come in and talk to the kids. To start getting your message out there, just start talking to people and talking about your dream.
That's true. And I also want to thank Tacoma Police for allowing me to do that because I didn't have a permit or anything. I just went out there and they saw me out there and they're like, and they came up, they're like, hey, what is this? And I was like, it's me campaigning for peace. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And they left me alone. I think they were fans of the cause. So,
right. Yeah. As long as you're spreading
yeah.
good, I think you get a few passes, right?
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. So how has this affected your life since you've had these awkward moments, you've pursued this dream? Has it made it so busy that you can't do things that you want to do? Has it made it harder to do things that are better or richer? What, how do you feel?
Well, I guess I'm kind of different in the sense that I want to do this. This is my life. This is it. As far as things that take priority over this, I mean, it's family. Besides that, man,
mm-hmm.
like this is it. I went through a period of time trying to figure out what I wanted out of life. And I had a close family friend ask me what I like to do, it seems very trivial, but I think people really need to
right.
ask themselves, not what, like, who are you, but what do you like to do? And try to formulate, because we only have a certain amount of time on this earth. That's what's going on. So it's like you should live your life trying to pursue or to do the things that you want to do. And I love seeing people from different walks of life coming together. That's my favorite thing, seeing people from different races, different creeds, different walks of life getting together for some sort of cause. So I knew that's what I like. That's a part of what I like. And I also like helping people that are in need. So through knowing that, I started doing some more research. This happened maybe 4 years ago. I started doing research on people that were doing things like that. And naturally, peace came up, peace activism, peace movements. And that's when it clicked to me. I mean, growing up, my mom did very well to instill in me, teaching me about people like Martin Luther King, Gandhi, James Lawson, people that were making strides towards peaceful revolution. And that's when it clicked. I was like, okay, this is it. So once one understands one of their purposes in life, a dream that they want to pursue, they can either do two things. They can either be like, hey, well, this is something I want to do. I'll put it on the back burner for later, do my work, do whatever I'm doing, and be in pursuit of that later on. Or they can be like, hey, I know I want to do this. I'm going to go for it now. And that's what I did. I was like, this is something that I feel like the world can benefit right now. Politically, the country's in polarization. We're seeing tons and tons of violence going on, school shootings, mass shootings, and I wanted to participate in trying to dwindle that. And so that's when I figured out I wanted to do it, so I started right then and there. And went out to Wright's Park and started promoting peace and talking to people about it. And so,
yeah. So how? So how is it with all the things that you see in the press? And it's hard because if there's data that supports, if you look at the percentage of people, there's a lot more things that we hear about, but we hear about them because there's so much technology and it's right in our face all the time. And so it might not be that, you know, the higher percentage of people are necessarily dying or getting killed, but we hear so much more about it. Does that get in the way of your drive, or does that actually make you push harder in order to want to create peace?
And no, it doesn't hinder my motivation towards promoting peace. And it's like this. I have tons of motivation because it comes with very small, well, people would perceive to be small things that just gives me fired up, ready to do the work that I'm doing. I think I might have said this story that had happened to me on the VD Local podcast. And that was, I was driving the peace bus to Fred Meyer's, and I parked the car, and a mother and her two kids are walking out of Fred Meyer's, and the little girl, who must have been like maybe 5 or 6, she sees the peace bus, and she says, oh, wow, Mom, the peace bus, that's beautiful. So hearing that enough, and I was like, okay, well, that's it. That's like that's something a lot of people would see as very small. But to have that sort of positive connotation to the word peace, that she says it's beautiful. She says it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So hopefully later on in life, as she's going throughout her day or, you know, going throughout school, that when that word comes up again, peace, she'll be able to remember, this is something that we want. It's something that's beautiful. Let me learn more about this. Maybe I could go about even practicing this in my daily life. And so I feel that if we can, just simply by people looking at it, it's an advertisement. It's something that I want to show to the world, to have it in their hearts and minds to pursue it, like how I'm doing, like how lots of people are doing. I believe that more people are nonviolent than we would ever imagine. But yes, you're right. Like the media, that's the thing with the media. You know, I wouldn't say it's showcasing anomalies, but it's showcasing news that doesn't necessarily happen on all the time. That's why it makes the news, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's not to go over what is happening. Yes, there is a lot of violence, mm-hmm. and people who feel it know it. Doing the work of peace.
Yeah, and I think that what you're doing is you're making the conversation about peace, which is so critical, because I think for most of us, when I walk out my door in the morning, I see, and we live in a great part of the world, right? I mean, the Pacific Northwest, it's one of the most diverse areas you could live in, most accepting of so many different cultures. So there's an amount of being blessed, and I'm not naive to the fact that not everywhere is like this. But for me, when I walk out the door, I encounter people from all walks of life, smiling at each other. I'm not seeing people get stabbed on the street when I walk outside the door. And not that crime doesn't happen in Tacoma. It's got some rough times. However, the majority of the time is very positive and peaceful, but we don't talk about it enough. And so, you know, what does get the coverage and what does get the attention is when something bad happens. And so we need to elevate people's awareness to how many people are around us that are peaceful and are like-minded and want the same communities that we want, because they're there and they are the majority, and they just aren't the majority of the conversation.
Wow, they are the majority. They're not the majority of the conversation. That's so true, man. That's definitely what's being shown right now, and that's definitely the truth. I agree with you 100%, man. 100%.
But that's why it's so beautiful what you're doing, because you're making it the conversation. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm just I guess when I do hear about the crazy things that are happening, that inspires me, as well as seeing the good things. Just seeing lack of peace places is motivation, and seeing peace places is motivation. So it's all motivation.
That makes sense. That's awesome. Well, we are down. I can't believe it already. We're down to just a few minutes left here. What advice would you leave with people for how they can own their awkward?
I would tell people, the people out there, the masses, I would tell them that when you're faced with an awkward situation, or you have a sense of awkwardness in you, use that to your advantage by letting it motivate you to pursue your dreams. It's going to happen. Awkwardness is going to happen. It's a part of life. It's a part of who we are as human beings. It's going to happen. So knowing that, use that to motivate yourself. When I get in an awkward situation, oftentimes I find myself looking as I don't see it as a stepping stone. I don't see it as a negative thing. I see it as a motivator. And I learn from it, and I grow from it. So awkwardness is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's something we grow from and we build on in pursuit of whatever we want out of life. So embrace it and move forward from it.
I love that. Embrace it and make it really be the thing that works for you. That's great. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you on, Kwabi. You are doing such amazing things. If you're listening, get this message out there. Share this episode. Check out thepeacebus.org and follow you. You've got a Facebook page. You're all over social media. So people out there, help this message get out, and share this episode with your friends, and give Kwabi a follow on the Peace Bus.
Yeah, I want to thank you so much, Andy, for allowing me to be on the show. Tell Tim I say what's up. And I want to thank you guys and everyone from BD Local. You guys are awesome. And thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I so appreciate it. Kwabi, keep doing what you're doing, and we will talk to you soon. And thanks, everyone, for being with us today.
All right. See you guys.